You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will be going to your calls later on in the broadcast. The number 888-ASK-HANK. Again, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be taking your calls on today's broadcast. A couple of things I want to talk about, the first of which is that I'm sitting in a brand new studio. It is in process, but it is an exciting thing for me to be in this studio, particularly as we look at the possibilities in the future of harnessing the digital media platforms or social media platforms in a very intentional way. And I hope many of you listening in to me right now will pray for us as we make that transition. It is a significant one, but one that will expand our reach dramatically, 24/7 around the world. Also, keep checking equip.org or wherever you consume your favorite podcasts for the brand new Hank Unplugged podcast. There's always a new one coming up. You can find them on the web at equip.org and again, other places as well. And then I want to mention the countdown clock at equip.org. If you go to our homepage, you're going to see a countdown clock. I've done this a number of times before, and we're doing it once again. We certainly did it with Y2K. I don't know if you remember what that is, but Y2K was going to be the end of the world as we know it. Well, we did a countdown clock on that because we were saying back then that Y2K would not even be a top 10 news story in the year 2000. And the people on the other side of the issue were saying, well, Hank is going to have the blood of millions of people on his hands because he is causing complacency within the body of Christ. We also did countdown clocks on Harold Camping and others just to demonstrate that these people, though they profess to be reading Scripture, though they profess to be genuine prophets of God, are not that. They are false prophets. They are those prophets being described by Jeremiah when he said, "Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says, you'll have peace, and to all who followed the stubbornness of their own hearts, they say no harm will come to you." Well, now we've got just the inverse of that. We have people now believing that we are at the end of time and that they know exactly when the pre-tribulational rapture is going to take place. So first they take a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, then they impose their paradigm on it, and then after some shenanigans, they come up with the notion that they know when the end is going to come. And the end is going to come, the countdown clock is counting us down to the time that Nibiru will pass Earth on Saturday, this coming Saturday, causing volcanic eruptions, tsunamis, earthquakes, and the like. And the problem with this is quite plain. The first problem is, from the perspective of science, and this doesn't take a whole lot of effort to determine, Planet X, or Nibiru, is an obvious hoax. But furthermore, and I think more importantly to our audience, from the perspective of Scripture, Christ's Olivet Discourse, which is typically being used, is not about the 21st century. It certainly applies to us in principle. But as I said on, I think it was yesterday's program, the Olivet Discourse was not written to us, it was written for us. It was written to churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. And I suppose the greatest indignity of all is Revelation 12, 1 through 2, which is being twisted like a waxed nose as the primary text that underscores the ruse. And so this all highlights the reality that we ought to learn discernment skills, that we ought to learn how to read the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. And to that end, I want to bring something else up at the beginning of this broadcast, and that is Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion. Because Muhammad and his alter ego, Allah, Muhammad was a false prophet. Not only did he demonstrate beyond the peradventure of a doubt faulty ethics by his Quranic revelations, but factual errors as well. Let me say just a few words about the faulty ethics. And these are faulty ethics, if you believe the Quranic worldview, of Allah himself. Because in Quran 434, Allah exhorts Muslim men to scourge their wives in order that their wives might return to obedience. And this Quranic directive is so unpalatable to Western sensibilities that some Muslim translators change the phrase scourge them to beat them. But that's not all. You look at one of the most popular translations in the West, Abdullah Yusuf Ali's translation. It goes as far as to gratuitously add the word lightly, though such a qualification does not exist in the original Arabic. Much could be said about the faulty ethics, but that should be enough to make the case. In terms of factual errors, just as Muhammad could not have comprehended the complex tapestry of matter, and he blew that as well, but that's a story for another day, he could not conceive of a complex Trinitarian deity. Nor, for that matter, can I. It is something we can apprehend, but not something that we can comprehend. And that is precisely why Christians bow before God's self-revelation. And Muslims, on the other hand, they use fallible reason to remake God in their own image. And I love what C.S. Lewis said in this regard. He said, it is the simple religions that are the made-up religions. He may well have had in mind the thoroughly made-up religion of Islam. If Christianity was something we were making up, of course we'd make it easier. But it is not. We cannot compete in simplicity with people who are inventing their religions. How could we? We're dealing with fact, but someone that wants to be simple has no facts to bother about. The Christian concept of God is anything but simplistic. As I just mentioned, what we can apprehend, we cannot comprehend, even in eternity. We'll continue to grow in apprehension of an infinite, incomprehensible, ineffable deity who has condescended to reveal his triunity to mortals. So while Islam wants to make a mockery out of the Christian God, the shoe actually fits them. Because if you think about this logically, and I think this is something that a lot of people ought to get into their memory traces. If you think about this logically, a Unitarian God, i.e. the God of Islam, is a morally defective God. Because a Unitarian God, independent of the universe, could not manifest the attribute of love. So think about the time before time. A little bit of an oxymoron, but I don't want to unpack that. You get the idea. I mean, time is something that came into existence, so you can't really talk about before time, but let's just use the language in a loose sense. Independent of the universe, there are no people to love, there are no objects of love, and therefore a Unitarian God could not manifest the attribute of love. But this is an entirely different proposition with the Trinity. A Trinitarian God, a tri-unity God, is not beset with the same moral defect. The Father loves the Son from all eternity, and vice versa. The Holy Spirit loves the Son and the Father. For love to be real, there always has to be both a lover and a beloved, and it helps to have a witness. So while we cannot comprehend, and I'm not seeking in any way via analogy to come up with something that replicates God, so now I've made God understandable in human terms, the one thing we can say is we can't comprehend, we can apprehend, but why would I want to comprehend a Unitarian God or a God that I've made too small? The God of Christianity is ineffable. He is unknowable. Unknowable in his essence, but we can experience him in his energies. And I would say, most specifically, we can experience him in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And of course, Islam immediately will say to that, that the very fact that I have just enunciated what I did is the unforgivable sin of shirk. In their view, what I just said suggests sexual procreation. Now, it's one thing for Muhammad to misunderstand this. It's another thing for an uncreated Allah to misunderstand this, which, of course, is why I've pointed out that Muhammad essentially has an alter ego, and that alter ego is Allah. Now, again, a lot of people think, well, this is hate speech. This is bigotry. Nothing could be farther from the truth. I mean, if you look at what Islam is doing, is they're tearing the very heart out of the Christian faith. They deny the crucifixion. They deny the resurrection. And therefore, as Christians, with gentleness and with respect, we ought to have an apologetic. We ought to have an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. And I can tell you through my life's work that if you are able to answer the canards, as it were, you can use them as springboards or opportunities for sharing the grace and the goodness that only the God of the Bible can bring to the human heart. I've written about this and a whole lot more in Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's fastest growing religion. It ought to be somewhat of a concern to us that Islam is the fastest growing religion. It is filling a vacuum that has been created demographically by self-aborting Westerners in Western civilization. And polygamous Muslims are rushing in all over the world, filling that vacuum. And what we have to do is do what we've always done as Christians, not win by sword, but win by word, reason, communication, and above all, the love that Christ has given us is the love that we must manifest to others, but it is a love that is rooted in truth and life. Muslim, available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back.
With 1,600,000,000 strong and growing, Islam is poised to fill a vacuum left by a Western culture slouching inexorably towards Gomorrah. Demographics alone are alarming. While polygamist Muslims boast a robust birth rate, native Westerners are moving rapidly towards self-extinction. Filling the void are multiplied millions of Muslims who have no intention of assimilating into Western culture. But there is one real solution to a disintegrating West and resurgent Islam. It is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Coen brothers are among the most critically acclaimed film directors of our time. Yet the meaning behind their movies is often veiled in mystery. This offers a clue about the Coens' worldview. The difficulty is part of the design. Other topics include changing attitudes toward the resurrection of Jesus. Is a pro-life hermeneutic possible? How to revive a dead church? The Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. We live in what Oz Guinness calls an ABC moment, anything but Christianity, a moment in which Christianity is routinely ridiculed and Islam is referred to with reverential tones. Yet ABC can also serve to remind us that the solution for regaining Western civilization and defeating global Islamic jihadism is ultimately grounded in answers, biblical literacy, and countering cults. This is the task of the Christian Church, the pillar and ground of truth. Find out more in Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, the number to dial, 888 to ask Hank. But I want to say something about the misconceptions that are being circulated by Muslims about the Christian God. And I've oftentimes pointed out that virtually every theological error begins with a misconception of the nature of God. And in this regard, Allah seems to think that Christians, whom, of course, he deems to be unbelievers, hold that God is the third of three. That, of course, is patently false. Christians, in concert with Jews and Muslims, hold that there is only one God. If Allah is indeed God, he should have been well aware that Christians believe the Messiah is not merely a man who ate food, but rather the God-man who created the very food he ate. To suppose, as does Allah, that Christians think Mary is the third member of the triune Godhood is to completely misconstrue the biblical concept of Trinity. It would be one thing for a 7th century Muslim like Muhammad to be mistaken in the matter. It's quite another to imagine that an all-knowing Allah could have made such an elemental error in a book that is supposed to have existed from all eternity, a book that was given to answer the assertion that God is He and Jesus and Mary. Now, obviously, there are various ways to interpret Quranic assertions respecting the status of Mary. But this much is inviolate. No Orthodox believer, no Orthodox Christian, would as much as contemplate elevating Mary to the status of God. Now, Christians rightly venerate Mary, but worship is strictly forbidden. If the Bible is clear about anything, it is that Theotokos, or Mother of God, is a human servant of God, certainly not a wife or partner of God. And Theotokos, as such, is fully submitted to being transformed by Christ, her Savior, as Luke, Dr. Luke, points out in the first chapter of his gospel. Now, I've written about that and much more in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. In this particular section of the book, what I'm doing is contrasting what Islam teaches with the straight stick of Scripture. Let's take some phone calls. First up, Catherine, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Catherine. Catherine, are you there? I guess we have a little bit of a glitch here because I got Catherine on the board, but I'm, for some reason or other, not making contact, but I will see if I can pick you up in just a few moments. I also, and this is sort of what I had intended to do anyway, I wanted to take a Facebook question from Gary, who's asking me whether Islam can be considered the beast in Revelation. In other words, Gary is asking if the beast is the one that will bring a 21st century Antichrist to power. And I've oftentimes pointed out, and I think this is really necessary for us to once again get into our memory trace. If you place the beast in the 21st century, it poses insurmountable difficulties. And I say that because John, the author of Revelation, John told a first century audience that with wisdom and insight, they would be able to calculate the number of the beast for its man's number. Now, think about this. If you are in the first century and someone's writing to you and telling you that with wisdom and insight, you will be able to calculate the number of a 21st century beast, you are pulling an unfair game on them. Obviously, no amount of wisdom, no amount of insight could have enabled a 21st century audience to calculate the number of a 7th century beast. So, while people oftentimes say that Muhammad is the beast or Islam is the beast, I don't think we can rightly say that in one sense. We may be able to say it in another sense. And the other sense is that John is talking about a first century character, but that first century character has ramifications for all the civilizations, which is to say that Muhammad is the essence of what the Apostle John spoke about when he said, "Who is the liar? It's the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ," which is precisely what Muhammad did. It's precisely what Islam does. John goes on to say, "Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also." So in essence, what John is saying is that anyone who denies the deity of Jesus Christ is Antichrist. Now, this coheres pretty interestingly with what I communicated in the first segment of this broadcast. Muhammad is saying that anyone who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God has committed the unforgivable sin of shirk. John, the apostle, on the other hand, is saying that anyone who denies that Christ came in the flesh is Antichrist. So again, that appellation applies to Muhammad. A Muslim following the way and teaching of Muhammad denies the Son of God and thus comes in the spirit of Antichrist. I think maybe one other point ought to be made in this regard, and that is in the book of Revelation, John identifies both an individual and an institution. And they both represent the ultimate personification of evil. In other words, they represent what we would call the archetypal Antichrist. And he refers to that archetypal Antichrist as a beast who deceived the inhabitants of the earth. So what is he doing? He's actually drawing on Daniel's apocalyptic description of evil world powers. And then he's describing an emperor in his own epoch of time who arrogantly sets himself and his empire against God. And he does it in all different ways. He persecutes the saints. He grossly violates the commandments, not the least of which is his demand to be worshipped as Savior and Lord. This is precisely what happened in the 7th century. But it's happened throughout history as well. It happened in the 1st century, it's happened in the 7th century, and it's happening again in the 21st century. So again, while Revelation wasn't written to us, it was written for us, and what Revelation is communicating applies therefore to us in principle. But John, just like the other biblical writers, is writing to people in a particular epoch of time, and we ought not to confuse John's words in the introduction of the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to tell his servants what must soon take place. So if we take soon and near, as John goes on to say, and make that a far away time, the 21st century, we are playing havoc with the plain and main teachings of Scripture. So John is writing seven letters to seven churches. He's telling them to be faithful and fruitful. They're going to suffer for a short time. Their vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. Also, I think important to note that Revelation crescendos. It crescendos in the sense that just as first century believers were told to look upward, their vindication draws near, so too we are to look upward, our vindication draws near. And so I, along with all Christians, we live with eternity in mind. Knowing that life is a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow, we live for those things that last for all eternity. I love to repeat this phrase. You can't take it with you. You can send it ahead. And that's going to be true for me and for everyone else on the planet. We can't take it with us. All of a sudden, there will come that crushing pain in the pericardium or the crashing of glass or, as in my case, a diagnosis that you have cancer. Now, I have to quickly add that in my particular case, my particular cancer, the chances of going in remission are very, very high. But it does give you a sense of your own mortality. And the moment you get a sense of that, you no longer labor for that which perishes. Rather, you labor for that which is eternal. So please remember, when I ask people to support this ministry, I'm not asking you to give to us, but through us, touching the lives of people who you will know for all eternity. Now, when we offer a book like Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, all the proceeds go to the Christian Research Institute, but we're offering this not just as an incentive for you to give, although hopefully it is that, but we're offering this as a way of equipping you with information that you can trust. There's so much subterfuge out there with respect to Islam. You need a reliable resource, and that is precisely what this book represents. Also want to mention, you can find this on the web, Answering Jihad by Nabil Qureshi. He just went home to be with the Lord a few days ago. But his book lives on, and so does his legacy, and he will continue to make a difference in this time, though he is now absent from the body, present with the Lord. Coming to Station Break, we'll be back with a quote of the day and with your questions, I promise. We'll be right back.
Grave is the specter of global Islamic jihadism now exacting mass genocide on Christians in the East and ever-multiplying terrorist attacks throughout the West. Worse still, Western governments, academic institutions, and media outlets seem bent on exporting a false narrative respecting the religious animus animating global Islamic jihadism. In Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, Hank Hanegraaff not only outlines the problems in accessible and memorable fashion, but moves toward potential solutions in the clash of civilizations. Receive your copy of Muslim as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recent scholarly research has been significantly more open toward Jesus' healing the sick, his empty tomb, and even his post-resurrection appearances. So why have these same critics not fallen to their knees and proclaimed, "My Lord and my God"? Other topics include the Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, the Cohen brothers and the riddle of existence, defending the biblical view of human sexuality using an effective Socratic question approach, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Ideas have consequences, and in the case of Islam, the consequences historically have been unimaginably brutal. To believe that Islam is a religion of peace is a potentially fatal fiction. This is the time for naive and trusting Christians to take their heads out of the sand. True Islam has zero appreciation for the freedoms of Western democracies and would substitute the dehumanizing oppression of Sharia law in a heartbeat if given the chance. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and the quote of the day, and then we'll go right to your calls. It's by one of the great Cappadocian fathers, St. Basil the Great, and it comes to me courtesy of my wife, Kathy, who wanted me to read this particular quote on the air today, and I dare do nothing else. No, I really want to. When she gave this to me, I thought, wow, this is fantastic. He's a 4th century church father. He's born in Caesarea. He was the Greek bishop of Cappadocia. He supported the Nicene Creed. And incidentally, if you want to memorize something, there's nothing that I can think of other than Scripture that I'd rather memorize than the Nicene Creed. So if you haven't memorized it, you can do it. At some point in time, I'm going to teach people how to memorize. Maybe I'll do that on social media. We'll see. But here's what St. Basil the Great said. Do not say this happened by chance. Well, this came to be of itself. In all that exists, there is nothing disorderly, nothing indefinite, nothing without purpose, nothing by chance. How many hairs are in your head? God will not forget one of them. Do you see how nothing, even the smallest thing, escapes the gaze of God? St. Basil is using the example of hairs on your head to say, if God cares for that, and if God has fine-tuned the universe such that we can experience life, we must never say that this universe is a function of chance. One of the things that we ought to remember in this regard is that those who do not believe that the universe has an uncaused first cause essentially are saying this, that nothing created everything, that life came from non-life, and that the life that came from non-life produced morals. I mean, that's a stretch. You have to have a lot of faith to believe in that. Let's go to the calls. Randy in California. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Hank.
Nice to talk to you. Hello? Have contact.
Oh, okay. I had a question. I know you were talking about the Muslim community, but I had a question about the Jewish community, saying, will it be the same thing? Would it be that some of the Jewish community will be considered antichrist also because they reject Christ? They do believe in the God of Jacob and the God of Moses and the God of the Old Testament, but they reject Christ. So will they still be considered antichrist as well? And are they to be saved also?
Well, I mean, to answer that question, all you have to do is go to the passage that I quoted earlier, which is the John writing in his epistles where he says, who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Father or the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So John is answering that question explicitly. And this was the great sin, of course, of the early first century scribes and Pharisees. They knew the Scriptures. They knew that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. They knew about his ancestry. They knew the prophecy about the coming death that Christ would suffer. They knew the basic idea in terms of parameters that surround the date of his visitation. They knew that he would be an extraordinary worker of miracles, that he wouldn't be a parochial Jewish Messiah, but he would come so that the gospel would go out to the far reaches of the earth. And if you look at all of the factors that describe Jesus in the Old Testament, when he emerges through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy, you have to wonder, why did they reject him? Well, they had their own gig going. They had temple, priest, and sacrifice. They had tremendous political, at least within their own communities. They had political power, they had social power, they had religious power. They didn't want to give that up. So Christ appears in their midst. He does miracles in their midst, miracles that cannot be pawned off to sorcery or sleight of hand. And yet, While not being able to deny the miracles, they attribute the miracles to the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. So what they are doing is overtly denying what is quite clear to them. And that's why it is considered in Scripture and talked about in Matthew as the unforgivable sin. That sin is rejecting what could be known to them. And for a personal application or maybe a contemporary application, we have to think about this from the perspective of what we know. We can look at the universe and know there has to be a universe maker. That's common sense. If I was on an island and found a basketball, I'd know there was a basketball maker. The universe infinitely more complex, of course. We have a knowledge of God written on the tablet of our consciousness. Therefore, there are no atheists in foxholes. When the bombs start exploding around you, you say, "Dear God, help me." But more than that, Christ has revealed himself in time and space. He's called the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things are created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So we have a Christ that has appeared. We have God manifesting himself in time and space. So denying that is denying what ought to be self-evident to us. Make sense?
Yes. Thank you. I just often wonder about the Jewish community, how they believe. I mean, I know that if you deny Christ, you deny the Father. But I know that they believe half of it, and then they just don't accept Christ.
Right, and we have to be careful when we talk about the Jewish community or the Muslim community. I mean, I talked earlier about Nabil Qureshi's book. I mean, he was a Muslim, became a Christian, and there are many Jews in the same category. So when we talk about Christianity or being part of true Israel, it has no ethnicity associated with it. There's no Jew or Greek. There's no station in life that makes significance. Gender doesn't make any difference. All pointed out by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3. Let me go back to the phone lines. Helen, she is listening in Washington, or Wisconsin, I guess. Hi, Helen.
Hi. My question is, would it be possible that the internet would be the beast?
Well, no. I mean, the internet could be thought of maybe in terms of an institution. If you think about it in that sense, the internet has both a good capacity and a bad capacity. I think I mentioned this on yesterday's broadcast, but it bears repeating. Internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. However, just as the internet could be used as a tool for evil, it can be used as a tool for good. In fact, we are committed to trying to harness the power of the internet for good. So I wouldn't call this the Antichrist, but I would certainly say that there are a lot of people on the internet who are denying the very thing that ought to be obvious to them, which is that from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live. He did that so men might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. Hope that helps.
Yeah, thank you.
You got it. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Tammy in Kansas. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Hey, I have a question. I'm assuming, or what I've been taught, is that the different languages came about because of the Tower of Babel. Is that correct?
Yeah. In fact, that's what the story tells us in Genesis.
The disciples were given the gift to speak in tongues. Was that gift not given to them so they could go to other countries and speak their language? I guess I have trouble with believing that people babbling is the Holy Spirit speaking through them, because first of all, I can't even understand what they're saying. And so to me, I've always taken it that the gift to to speak in tongue was the gift that they were given. Otherwise, how did they know when they went to other countries how to speak their language?
Yeah, well, it's kind of there's a brilliant insight in your question, because on the face of it, the Tower of Babel was the diffusion of tongues because people were trying to build a humanistic enterprise. And you have the exact inverse that happens in Acts, where you have, instead of the diffusion of tongues, you have the ability to understand what is being said by the apostles. So there's a germ of truth in what you're saying, but I would say that the way in which this germ of truth is being manifested today, you look at the Azusa Street Revival, there were a lot of people back then that thought, you know what, I don't have to learn foreign languages to be a missionary. All I need to do is have the gift of tongues. So they got what they perceived to be the second blessing, and they traveled to India or different parts of the world, and they'd find out they really didn't have that gift in that way. Now, that does not mean that there is not a legitimate gift. That's a debate within Christian circles. I mean, it's a legitimate gift, and the debate is whether that gift is efficacious in this time-space continuum or if it ceased. That's a debate that Christians have, again, an in-house debate. Much more could be said. I'm running out of time. I've written about this in the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which you can find on the web at equip.org. By the way, on tomorrow and Friday's Bible Answer Man broadcast, a special presentation of my recent Hank Unplugged podcast. It's a conversation with Robert Spencer. He wrote the foreword to Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. This guy is the bomb. He's absolutely fantastic. And you'll love the conversation. We're going to develop that conversation just for you and present it to you tomorrow and Friday. So stay tuned for that. Look forward to be right here on Monday answering your questions as per usual. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Did you know that the Quran and the Hadith are full of commands to subjugate or kill unbelievers, and that Sharia mandates proactive and perpetual war against Jews and Christians? In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Coen brothers are among the most critically acclaimed film directors of our time, yet the meaning behind their movies is often veiled in mystery. This offers a clue about the Coens' worldview. The difficulty is part of the design. Other topics include changing attitudes toward the resurrection of Jesus. Is a pro-life hermeneutic possible? How to revive a dead church? The Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression. and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.